Oh, praise the Lord. For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. No, you got to understand something. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You just got to get excited about coming to the house of the Lord. When you stop for a moment and you pause and you look back over last week, you realize how good God's been to you since last Sunday. In fact, you think how good he's been to you since you laid your head down last night. You got to understand, you didn't wake yourself. I always remind you, you didn't wake yourself up this morning. You woke up because he told his angels to wake you from your sleep. And you say, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to wake up in my right mind. Lord, thank you for allowing me to have use of this voice so that I may be able to praise you. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be able to lift my hands and say, Lord, you are worthy. There is no one else like you. You got to get excited. Shall we go to God in prayer for this service today? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we come this day into your house, your holy house of worship, Father, to lift up your name because you alone are worthy, Father. There is no God to be compared to you. There is no God like you alone, Father. You have kept us, you protected us, you watched over us, Father. You came from glory to save us, Father. We come today to lift you up and give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. It's just good to be here today. First, I have to give you a title. Somebody came looking for me again today. One of these days, I'm going to play the game of hide and seek with her. I'm going to hide somewhere. Maybe under the desk, in the closet somewhere. You know what? She'd find me anyway. Can I have 2 Thessalonians? You know what to stand. Give me chapter 2, verse 13. You can remain seated. I'll read it. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. The title of the day is Every Day is Decision Day. Every day is decision day. Every day you have to make a decision to live for God. We think sometimes it's a single decision. I made it, and I've settled it forever. Yes, you've settled it, but understand the circumstances of life change. Understand, but I'm trying here today to tell you the circumstances may change, but God never changes. God never changes. Living for God is the greatest thing that you can do. I was at work this week, and I'm going to give you something that caught my attention, and this little lady, a young lady, got my attention clearly. See, sometimes we look around and think living in the world would be fun, but I can tell you, there's no greater place to be than in a church. No greater place. So we're on the elevator, this young lady, and she's pushing this cart with all the things she used to draw blood. We are on, and there's a guy in a rascal. I don't know if you know what a rascal is, a little motorized thing that helps handicapped get around. So we're there, and she pushes, she looks at the guy on the rascal, and she's about 25. She says, you know what, I wish I had one of those. She's walking. But then the guy on the rascal said, I wish I had your two legs. When she got off the elevator with me, she then began to realize what he was really saying. He was really saying, you know what? He would glad swap the rascal with her for her two good legs. This morning, I want you to understand, living, never forget how good we really have it when we're living for God. And the whole time we're living for God, we need to understand those in the world really want to live for God. They really do. they have been, as I call it, hoodwinked by the devil. They've been, as the Bible says, they've been, as Eve was, deceived by the devil. But I'm here today to tell you, inside of everyone's heart, there is a place for God. Jesus said, I've come that no man should perish, that every man should have eternal life. Jesus came because he came to save every one of us. He came to save the most vile creature that we think on the face of the earth, somebody that we think doesn't deserve to be saved. But let me stop for a moment, because we look at ourselves in the mirror, we would admit to ourselves, I really don't deserve to be saved. We don't matter what we're talking about. But sometimes we get to the point where we think, oh, I'm better than somebody else. No, I'm not. I'm just a sinner saved by love and grace and mercy of Almighty God. Understand something. Give me 1 Peter 2 and 9. It's an interesting verse that takes place. God established that he chose us. He chose us. Are we trying to get there? He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We don't stop sometime long enough to ask ourselves, where would I be if he had not called me out of darkness? If we really would stop and think about it sometime, I tell people, we would scare ourselves to death. We really would. Think about those moments in your lives when you did something and somehow you say, boy, I got away with it. You know, you say, I could have died right there. Let me tell you, the alcoholic who's drinking out of the brown paper bag this morning, he never desired to be there drinking out of the brown paper bag. I'm telling you today, that person still needs salvation. That person still needs healing. Understand something. When you see someone that's addicted to drugs, they didn't ask to get addicted to drugs. We said, well, it's easy for them to stop. Let me tell you something. In my world, it's not as easy as you think it is. What they don't understand is we can send them all to all anonymous programs, Drugs Anonymous, Alcohol Anonymous. But I'm here today to tell you the only answer is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today. But understand something. You are a chosen generation. Chosen generation. Understand, give me John chapter 15, verse 16. Here is an interesting verse. I want you to understand something. You have not chosen me, God speaks, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Here is an interesting verse. You have not chosen me. God says, I chose you. Just because he chose you doesn't end the equation. You have to make a decision as well. In Revelation 3 and 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, then he says, I will come into him and will sup with him. He says, I chose your door. What is the door? It's not the door to your house. It's the door to your heart that he's knocking on this morning. But you have to make a decision whether or not to open that door. Think about this one. It's easier to keep the door closed than to open it and let somebody out after they're already in. It's easy to keep it shut. But once they come in, it's kind of hard to get them out of your house. Listen, I'm laughing about it, but it's true, you know. When you look here, you used to see the Seventh-day Adventists used to come around through the neighborhood. They come every Saturday, they come knocking on the door. And once they got inside your house, it was hard to get them out of your house. But you know, once you get in church, you're glad for them to come in because you want to witness to them. Because guess what? They inside your house. Understand, God says, listen, I want to come into your heart today. I want to show you some things that you cannot conceive. But we sit down sometime and says, I'm going to let him in, but I'm just going to crack the door and let him peek in. I don't really want him to come in. But you need to understand, first of all, he chose you. You're a chosen generation. You didn't choose him. People say, you know what? I'm just going to start living for God when I want to. Everybody looks around and they think about the story of the two thieves on the cross. I call it that 11:59:59 save. Y'all know what I'm talking about. People say, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. When I get to the end, then I'm going to decide. I'm going to live for God. Then I'm going to change my mind. It's going to be all right. I can make my mind up and decide. I can call God up whenever I want to call him up, and he's going to come save me. The problem with that is it has a major fallacy to it. It's based upon the fact that you think you know when that hour and minute and time and second and nanosecond are going to come that you're going to take your last breath. But understand something. Death comes like a thief in the night. Understand something. There were a lot of people saying, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to give my life to God tomorrow, next week. But understand something. You don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. So right now, I'm here today to tell you, you just may well go on and worship him and live for him right now. Because sometimes you find people that wait to that last moment. And then all of a sudden, they still don't want to give up. They don't want to give up. They want to hold on to this world because they're not ready for judgment day. I tell this story because this week I had to deal with some situations like that. This lady I'd taken care of for 20 years. Tried to talk to her a bunch of times. And it's interesting how God works. I saw her in the office a month ago. I said, you know what? You only weigh 94 pounds. 94 pounds. But she wanted to have an operation. Her daughter wanted her to have the operation. I'm like, oh, buddy. You know, sometime in my world, we say some interesting things. You go to the doctor, you think the doctor all sophisticated sometimes, but sometimes he says some interesting things. Y'all think we got it all together. We don't have it all together. We just got y'all fooled. We put that white coat on. I'm looking at that lady going, you know, she may die, but I don't have to be the executioner. But everything I did, she still wanted to have an operation. And when you get to talking to her about, try to talk to her a little bit about God, after almost 90 years on this earth, she was not ready for what lay ahead. Understand something. If you stay on this earth for 100 years and you miss heaven, what did you really gain? The Bible says, what good is a man who gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So you're 90 years old. You're not ready. Your family's not ready. So I get her through the operation. I send her home. I get her out of the hospital. I think I'm doing good. She's going home. Last week, I'm thinking, oh, Wayne, we're doing good. I come through the ICU the other day. And you know what? Whenever you hear this thing they call the cold blue, always understand something bad. Something bad happened. And I go through the ICU, and I wasn't even early in the morning. And guess who it is? The same lady that got through an operation a week ago. The same lady I had talked to. I want you to understand something here today. If you don't do one thing in your life but one thing, live for God. Listen, I tell people, when I told somebody last night, you know, let me ask a question this morning. We're sitting here. When was the last time you took a walk through a cemetery? When was the last time anybody took a walk through the cemetery? See, we've gotten to the point now, sophisticated, we don't want to walk through a cemetery. But in the day, you go back and study the old generation, when they had to decide a decision, they walked through the cemetery all the time. They went for a walk. Where did they go? They went walking through the cemetery. Why do you walk through the cemetery? I walk through the cemetery because it's a reminder that one day I'm going to take my last breath. Understand something. Number two, when you walk through that cemetery, there's something peaceful about the cemetery. There's something peaceful about the cemetery. The third thing about it is it reminds us of eternity. People today don't want to talk about eternity. But the real question is, where will you spend eternity? Every day, every decision you make has some influence upon eternity. How your day goes today, a lot is based on the decisions you made yesterday. And how tomorrow goes will be based upon the decisions you make today. You will make tomorrow either harder or easier based upon the decisions you make today. So if you make a decision to live for God today, tomorrow becomes a little easier. Understand something. The third thing I tell people why we walk through a cemetery that's great for it, you get encouragement in the cemetery. You can tell me, and I agree, that everybody in the cemetery is dead. I've never seen any alive person in the cemetery. But you know what it is about the cemetery when you look at those headstones? I don't know if you read those headstones. We don't want to read them. But what gives you encouragement in the cemetery is when you come across one of those old saints that's laying there, that's been there for a while, they give you encouragement because you know one thing about them. They remind you of some things that they brought to your mind, that they reminded you that you can live for God, that you can make it to heaven. You just got to hold on. They start telling you stories. If you go back and think in your life, no matter what happens, those elders who passed on, you still hear that voice in the back of your mind someday. When they speak to you, saying, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Them old saints that I tell people, they prayed for you, and you thinking about, oh, man, they're really calling me to a different level. You've got to begin to understand who you are in God. Give me Romans chapter 8. It's one of the most interesting discussions that takes place. Romans chapter 8. See, we look around a lot of times and try and let the external circumstances dictate to us what we're going to do next. I'm going to pick it up at verse 35. Give me Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Because when I got in the church, I thought living for God was going to be real, real. We're going to be on Easy Street, as they call it. Easy Street. I thought, man, I'm going to get in church. There's going to be no more bad days. There's going to be no more trials. There's going to be no tribulations. There's going to be no sickness. I'm going to be doing good. But understand something. Then you pick the book up and you start reading it, and all of a sudden in Romans chapter 8, it begins to remind us of something. Let me pick it up in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or swords? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The first thing when you read that verse very carefully, you got to understand the love of God is not measured by external circumstances. We try and measure that love. Well, every blessing is coming my way, so God must really love me. When it starts raining, well, God doesn't love me. I'm here today to tell you, God loves you whether the sun is shining or the rain is falling, whether the wind is blowing, whether it's cold outside. God's love for you will not change based upon the circumstances. But he says, nothing will separate us. Who shall separate us? As it is written, for thou's sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We're conquerors. It doesn't matter about the external circumstances. Understand, the external circumstances are temporary. They're just temporary in your life. When I was a little kid, my grandmother used to always say, you know what? No good thing lasts forever. No bad thing lasts forever. She was reminding you that no matter how good it is, the sun shining today, the rain's going to come. But it says, but nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Wow. Through him that loved us. His love is not based upon what we go through, but we're able to conquer it by keeping our focus upon him. Understand, Peter got to walking on the water. Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come to you. Jesus said, come on, get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat. He starts walking. But it's interesting, he's walking on the water. He's got his focus on Jesus. But all of a sudden, he started looking around at the water and the wind and the waves coming at him. And the Bible says, and he started to sink. I'm here today to tell you, when we take our focus upon Jesus, we start to sink. But you got to stay focused. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. You got a vision. You say, I'm not worried about all those external circumstances. I know my God. When you pause for a moment and you go back through your life and you realize through many danger, toils, and snares, he's already brought us. You began to understand, if he brought me through that, he'll bring me through this. I'm telling you today, you need to start reminding yourself sometime, my God will make a way. I don't have to make a way. I leave it up to him to make a way for me. I just got to believe that he's going to make a way. Listen, you got to get to the point that you trust him beyond trust. You know, we trust a lot of things, but you got to get to a point that there is no doubt in your mind that he's going to bring you through whatever the circumstances are. Oh, hallelujah. You got to walk by, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is, I see it, but faith saying, I don't see it, but I know it's going to happen. He said, but no, we're more than conquerors. Now go on, give me verse 38. 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things yet to come, nor height, nor depth, nor creature, nor anything else shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that will separate you from his love. He says, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That means everything belongs to him. Give me Colossians 1:16. I'm jumping around, but I want to prove something to you. I want you to read what it says. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things. It didn't put a little some things, a few things. All things were created by him and for him. If you want to know how much he cares for you, just look at Calvary. Understand something. Look at Calvary to understand how much he loves you. Think of this. God who created everything, takes on the shape of a man, walks on the earth. People doubt him. People accuse him of being a devil. In the last days, they crucify him. And yet,
for a sinner like me. He says, I'll still go to Calvary for you. No questions answered. Now think, I look at this all the time. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He looks at him and says, you know what? I could call down 12 legions of angels. I want you to get this picture, 12 legions of angels. Otherwise, 144,000 angels are standing there. He's looking at the Roman soldiers thinking, you know what? I could wipe you guys out. But more importantly, I get excited about those angels sitting there saying, just give us the word. Just give us the word. We know the Bible tells us that one angel wiped out 185,000 Assyrians. Now, how much damage could he do with 144,000 angels? Understand something. But he had all that power in his hand. He says, I'm not going to use that power because I love you so much. Listen, if you've ever been a parent sometime, you have to demonstrate love when you want to demonstrate power. Your kid done something, and you want to demonstrate power. You know what I mean by power? We go to jail for that nowadays. See, in the old days, I tell people, my grandma just took you in that lady's bathroom and that lady's dressing room. You heard that whack, whack, whack. That first whack, they heard heard the scream before you went in the lady's dressing room because you knew what you did. Just listen. But sometimes you have to do it with love. You have to do it with love. You want to demonstrate it, but Jesus demonstrated ultimate love to us. Because we didn't deserve what we get. Think about this. The ultimate reward is a walk with him. What greater thing could you have to walk along him? The Bible says in Psalms 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. Think how good that feels to say, you know what? I want to find that secret place. I want to get in that secret place. You ever watch little kids sometime and they hide? They always got the same hiding place, that little secret place they go. You have that secret place too. Some days when you're having the days and things are not going quite right, you run to that secret place. Isn't it interesting when we run to that secret place, who's waiting there to meet us? We get to that secret place, we all razzled and fazzled. And we start calling that name, and all of a sudden, something happens in that secret place. All of a sudden, we realize he's in that secret place waiting on me to get there. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know one thing. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Because it's not my job to fix it. The Bible tells us the battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle. It's not mine. It's not your battle. But you got to begin to get to a point that you understand about this walk with God. It's a walk that will take us all the way to heaven. He's not going to leave you on the side of the road. He's not going to leave you when times get rough. But understand something. As he has chosen us. Salvation itself is a free gift. That's why people struggle. It's free. It's free. They think, I got to earn it. I got to earn my way into heaven. Guess what? You can't earn your way into heaven no more than you can jump to heaven. Okay? You can't earn your way there. You can't buy your way into heaven. And in fact, I'll tell you a little secret. You go to a funeral sometime, and you get there, and I tell people once they lay in there, the preacher can't preach them into heaven, they can't sing them into heaven, they can't scream them into heaven. Listen, I've gone to funerals where people run up there and jump in the coffin. It happens. But guess something? The Bible says, where a tree falleth, there shall it lay. That tree's not moving. That tree's not living. But you got to get to a point that you understand salvation is free. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. You open. He says, I'll come in. Now, once he comes in, you have to give him free rein. You know, years ago, they had that Bible, the sticker on that car that says, God is my co-pilot. You don't see those stickers on the car anymore. But everybody had it on the bumper. God is my co-pilot. That means you riding in the car by yourself. Because let me tell you a little secret. God is not going to be anybody's co-pilot. God ain't, that's not his job. He ain't going to be your co-pilot. God said, I'm going to be God in your life. I'm going to be nothing. God said, I'm going to have all, I'm going to have nothing. We sat here sometime trying to let God be God, but God, you can be God, but you can't have all of this. You can't have all of me. Let me ask you a simple question this morning as I come to close. If you clean up every room in your house except one, is your house clean? Your house not clean if you didn't clean every room. I'm gonna pull this door closed so if somebody comes over. They can't go in that room. Oh, your little kid, you hid everything underneath the bed. The bed was your greatest hiding place, man. You put more stuff up underneath that bed. People say, well, I swept it under the rug. Let me tell you something. That rug wasn't big enough to hide everything you put under that bed. But understand something. Your room wasn't clean because you hid it underneath the bed. Let me tell you something this morning, living for God. You may be hiding something from God, but God see it already. God sees it already. So why not allow him to come in today and clean it? He will take care of you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. I don't care what kind of circumstance in life you're going through. This morning, living for God is the only way to live. Every day you make a decision. When you wake up in this morning and God wakes you up, once you lay it in bed, you make a decision what time you're going to get out of bed. I think about people who say, I want to get up at 5:30. The alarm goes off at 5:30. They hit the alarm 4 or 5 times. Because I'm going back to sleep. What they're saying is, you know what? I'm not ready to get up. People who are trying to live for God sometimes do that. The alarm is going off and God's sounding something in your life and you keep hitting the snooze button. Hoping if I go back to sleep, it'll just go away. What he is he's calling me out to say, listen, I need you to do something. I need you to straighten your life up. I need you to get this right. But understand what I'm saying. Let me read a verse from Deuteronomy. Stand as I come to a close today. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14 says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou may do it. You can have the word in your mouth. You can have your word in your heart. But if you don't do it, it doesn't happen. You can say, I need to get up and study. But if you don't get up and study, studying ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. But understand something. He also reminds, he says, in verse 19, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. As I come to a close this morning, I want you to choose Jesus. Every time you have to make a decision, choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Shall we pray as we come to the close this morning that, Lord, you'll touch us this morning. You'll keep us. You'll guide us. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, this word of yours, Father, comes to us, reminds us every day is a decision day, Father. Let us know, Father, from the beginning when you chose to wake us this morning, Father, when you chose to guide us, Father, we choose to follow you, Father.
We know farther along the ways, Father, there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some rainfall. There's going to be some sun, Father. There's going to be some mountaintops. There's going to be some valleys, Father. There's going to be some thorns, Father. There's going to be some roses somewhere, Father. There's going to be some tears somewhere, Father. There's going to be some laughter somewhere, Father. But I know one thing, Lord, that you will never forsake us, that you will never leave us, Father. Father, I thank you for watching over us, Father. I thank you for your angels, Lord, that go with us and keep us as we prepare to come back at 1 o'clock. We give you praise and glory, for there is no other like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. See you back at 1 o'clock.